Or let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, how blessed we are to have been given another day, and it is the Lord's day. It is a day, Lord, that we set aside for the worship of Thee. We have assembled together, O Lord. We thank Thee for this opportunity. We thank Thee, O Lord, for this building that we could come together. We thank Thee for the freedoms that we have to come together to worship Thee. And so, Lord, as we have assembled together with our families, our children, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our friends, Lord, we pray a blessing upon each one of us, that Thou, O Lord, would be the one that would speak to each of our hearts in this day, that the gathering together would not be in vain, but it would serve for the purpose to strengthen, to edify each soul. We call upon Thee, O Lord, looking to Thee from whence all our help cometh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear ones, the chapter I've chosen with God's help to read is the Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the first Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 13. Ljubazne, želim se Božjom pomoć da se pročita iz prve poslanice apostola Pavla Korinčanima, 13. glava. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But then that which is perfect is come. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But then when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith and hope and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. May God bless our reading. Dear ones, the chapter that we have before us, I believe we can all, as we read it, will feel completely inadequate in really even discussing this chapter and its meaning. And more than that, it actually is a definition, not of love, because love really has no definition. You know, we speak of love often, and we know that the way to service is through love, and yet, how can it really be defined? Because love is God, and God is love. And how can a man in words describe who he is, really, in totality? And so when we look at the chapter that is before us, I believe as we read it, each one of us has to, if we're open, because the purpose of the word is to reveal God to us and to reveal ourselves to us. And so if we look at this chapter as just a read of something that is a goal that doesn't have to be attained because it's too perfect, because it is God himself that is being described here, then we will totally miss, we'll miss our salvation. And the purpose that Christ came will be lost on us. But in this chapter, dear ones, Apostle Paul is writing to a church that he had, by the Spirit of God, had formed and brought together. And this church is now in a squabble. They're squabbling over gifts. They want the preeminence. They want something more above and beyond what the other brother or sister has. They want to show themselves. They want to puff themselves up with a gift that is not theirs. It's not even theirs. It's a gift. And so Paul puts it all together. And this is what the apostle was given. He was given a great revelation. And because in Hebrews it tells us that God spoke. It says in sundry times and in divers manners, in different manners, he spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So this that the Apostle Paul is speaking was spoken directly to him by his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ, and given so that he could compile these epistles. And the apostles themselves were given a special revelation so they could write the complete word. In the times past, it tells us that the prophets were given, everything that was given, it was insufficient, because that which needed to be fulfilled still needed to be fulfilled. And now it was fulfilled, and now it is being written so that no man can say that he did not know, he did not understand who Christ is. Because when we read this chapter, there's no one here, I don't care how literate or illiterate we are, how educated or uneducated we are, we cannot read this chapter and say, I don't understand. And yet, in this, he is showing us the excellent way. He says, covet the best gifts, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Basically, all those gifts are meaningless without this. And so I'm going to show you an excellent way. And it's a way that brothers and sisters and dear friends, each one of us know. The question is for each of us as we ask ourselves, am I willing to manifest this life? And the only way I can do so is to go to the cross. That which is the most unpopular thing to do. And die. So that Christ would shine forth in me. And the definition of love itself is Christ. So that he would shine forth. So that it is in it, and it is unmistakable. Love is an act of the will. It's something that is unmistakable. And so he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, what is the voice of an angel? What is the language of an angel? We just sang in a hymn that the cherubims and the seraphims are around the throne, and they sing the praises of holy, holy, holy. Perfect beings created, perfect, who ceaselessly sing the praises of their Creator. And he says, if you have that language, Paul may have heard that language. We don't know what that language is, but it's angelic. We know it's above and beyond anything that we can do, right? And he says, if you have that, but you don't have charity, which is love, which is Christ. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not Christ, that's who charity is. If we don't have him, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Noise. I've got the language, but it's meaningless. Though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, this is a time that the apostles were being given these revelations and the churches were being established and teachers were speaking of this, these mysteries in Christ that are being revealed. He says, though I know all, I have all knowledge and have all faith, so I could remove mountains. You know, today there are many people who call upon God, who believe. Every one of us here today, if we are asked, do you believe in God? We're not going to mention once, no. We're going to, before the sentence is done, yes. Do you have faith? Yes. Yes. You have faith. Okay. I have faith. But he says, if I don't have Christ, so can we have faith? Can I believe in Christ and not have him? Well, we see it in the world all the time, right? He says, if you have the faith to move mountains. So there's an obstacle often in our path, in the path of those who don't even assemble, who don't even have a church that they go to, but will readily say, I believe in God. And when there's an obstacle in their path, they will pray and call upon God, so that obstacle would be removed. And they have the faith that mountain will be removed. But if I don't have Christ, what good does that faith do me? What good does that belief do me if I don't have charity, love, Christ? How can we sit here then, dear brothers, dear sisters, dear friends, and be smug, content with who we are? He says, if I had all this, and though I'd be, so now he goes into something that is just leaves us all, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. What would cause someone to bestow all his goods to feed the poor? What would create that in him? Now it says all our goods. You know, we see many who have great foundations, charity foundations created with billions and billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in them, worth numbers that we can't even wrap our mind around. And they like to show what they've done. Christ says, if you give everything, all that, empty that foundation, empty it out. You don't have charity. You don't have love. You don't have Christ. It profiteth me nothing. It profiteth me something. No, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. That's something that our human mind, in our judgment of ourselves, in our self-inspection, self-examination, as the scripture calls it, we can't understand. What do you mean? I just gave of myself. How are you going to say it profiteth me nothing? It says nothing. Nothing. It won't be mentioned. No, it's got to profit something. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, says nothing. So what do you do? What do I do that I'm going to hang my hat on? Is there anything I'm going to hang my hat on to say, this is who I am? You give your body to be burned. And have not Christ. The greatest thing that you can do is to give your life. You do that, but you don't have Christ. It means nothing. You can go to prison. You can be beaten. You can be put in the stocks. You could lose your head. If you don't have Christ, well, how could I have done those things if I didn't have Christ? Well, we just need to look around us. People give their lives for all kinds of things, all kinds of causes that are unscriptural. They'll do it for the cause of animals, of climates, of whatever. Things they have no control over. They'll make a statement by giving their life. So, yes, we can do something. There are those who went to prison. We don't know what that even means. And there's a very small group in here that even understands that. Go to prison for your faith. But you could do that, and it still profits you nothing. What do you mean? I just spent 5 years, and you're going to say it profits me nothing? No, I'm not saying that. The Lord knows. And you know what? You know too. You know, because this is a word, this is a mirror. It exposes. It exposes us. It shows me, did I go? Did I do this because of my love for my Lord? I am willing, because this love that I have for my Lord is what was given to me in my new birth. When I died to myself, when I no longer existed in my mind, because Christ lives in me now. And it's He who directs me. It's He is my life. He is my all. Christ is all in all. It's Christ. Religion means nothing to me. Christ is everything. Everything. So that every act that I do is Christ doing in me. Charity, what does it do? What does love do? What does Christ do? Suffered long. Was there an end? Was there a time he says, charity is kind? It's kind. You can't have the love of Christ, and someone's going to say, man, look at him. Look at how he's acting. You can't. But you know what? Has that ever been a description of us? Love is kind. Christ is kind. If Christ lives in me, I am kind. Now, I can have an act of kindness and not have Christ. I can do that. Just like I can speak with tongues. Just like I can give my body to be burned. Just like I can give my goods to feed the poor. I can do that and not have Him. That's what it tells us here. And it profits me nothing. So, also, now we're getting a description of what love is in action. Now, this love, this kindness has to come from what? You know, it says here later, it says, it rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love is not provoked, not easily provoked. When was Christ provoked? Did he say, okay, this is enough. Now, you're going to spit on me? Did he say, okay, that's enough now. You pushed me, pushed me, pushed me. It's enough. No. Because He is love. He couldn't be provoked. He could not be provoked. Brothers and sisters, let's not say, well, it took me a long time. He finally pushed me over the limit. You pushed me over the limit. I tried. It's enough. You need to be shown now. You need to be told. You're going to be told now. Well, then that's not Christ. So what is it? Who am I then? Because Christ does not do that. Love does not do that. Love went on the cross. Love bore everything. He says it bears everything. All things. It rejoices not in iniquity. Love, you know, if I've done you wrong and now something happens to me, and so I'm like your enemy, right? I did you some wrong and there's animosity, between us, right? Now something happens to me, you're going to rejoice? You don't have Christ. You don't. And so everything that you're doing, it profits you nothing. That's the word here that is just coming out. It profiteth nothing. Relationships. We see how easily they're broken, dear ones. That's love between men and women and brothers, sisters, and friends. And human love is not God's love. Human love isn't God's love. We see two sisters who don't talk. We see children who are estranged from their parents. How? Something happened, and the love, boom, cut it off. Cut it off. They're not deserving. No more. It's enough. Well, wait a minute, it says here, no, that's enough. That's enough. Well, I can call upon the name of Christ. I can believe that he's going to remove obstacles. I can believe I can do it, whatever. The Bible says it profits me nothing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, can't greet? Can't come together? Endureth all things. Who did that? Christ. Charity envieth not. Is not puffed up. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. What did envy do? What did envy do in the first murder? Abel had something that Cain did not. And Cain was envious. He was envious. Love would never be envious. Christ is never envious. Christ living in me, I cannot be envious. It rejoiceth. I rejoice. I rejoice with you. I weep with you. You weep with me. You rejoice with me. If you have a heart that is given to rejoicing at iniquity, you have zero profit. None. Your faith is nothing. Nothing. So we look at a chapter on love. We could say, well, see what love does. We could say, well, love kind of is too inclusive. It's actually the absolute opposite. It's the absolute opposite. Christ, when Christ died on the cross for all, he included all, but his salvation is love. Salvation goes to those who love him. Now, when we speak about love, what it does, it defines Christ to us. It shows us him. We cannot look at the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. Read that and separate it from this chapter. You can't separate those two. Because that's Christ's teaching, and this is Christ. This is who he is. And this is who he calls us to be. How many times, dear ones, do we see an end to bearing things, enduring things, being provoked? You know, when you think about being provoked, that means being inflamed in just, you know, a harsh reply. You were provoked. You say whatever you want, you were provoked. Now, let's just dismiss that. Everyone has their boiling point. Just like water, it's got its boiling point, so do I. Yeah, I do. I do. Christ doesn't. And I am told that I have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible tells me, that I have his mind. Charity never faileth. Only when the tough gets even tougher, then never. Yeah, but never. You can yeah, but all you want. Charity never fails. Because if we put in the name of Christ in this charity, Christ suffereth long and is kind. Christ envieth not. Christ vaunteth not. When did Christ vaunt himself up? Now we see Christ never faileth. So if I claim him, if I have him, yes, I'm going to fail. But Christ will not. And so when I go under his direction, when I have yielded, when I have given him my heart, I have given up my will. And so the burning question for each of us today, whether you are baptized, whether you say you still want to live a little bit more and enjoy, yeah. Enjoy what? Something that is past the moment and now you want even more, because the flesh is never going to be content. Never. You'll never satisfy the flesh. You can't say, okay, now I tried it, I done it. You're going to want to keep going. Doesn't matter. The burning question for every one of us here, whether we've been baptized or not, whether we've been in the faith for 50 years or one, is do you love me? That's what Christ, we heard last Sunday that God does not tempt us. He cannot tempt us, right? Because he is God. He is holy. Holy, 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 we sang. The angels are singing and crying out before him ceaselessly, nonstop. Holy, holy, holy. This is a God whom we have to do with. And so we are being asked, do you love him? Just like Peter was asked. Think about Peter and his failures. How would you feel if you said, Lord, never will I dishonor you. Never will I do. All these other disciples here with me, they might, not me. That's what he said. Now, who did he have confidence in? In himself. He felt that he would never do what Christ told him, you're going to deny me. No, they might, not me. He was sure. He believed it with all his heart. He was confident that he would never do that. And Christ saw him warming himself around the fire. Already deserted the Lord. Already deserted him. He's there. He's comfortable. Comfortable in the world. Warmed. With Christ, it's too risky. You're giving up too much. I'm giving up way too much. To be now, with all this going on, to be with him? No. That's too risky. So I'm going to be with the world. It's comfortable. No risk. It's good. Christ doesn't really mean that I have to give everything up. And so we warm ourselves around the fire of the world. We're content with all its glitter, its glamour. We want pieces of it. We want pieces. I want to show you how great I am. I want to show you what I can do. I want to show you. I'm comfortable. Am I denying Christ just by that alone? See, I can't answer that for you, but you can answer it for yourself. And I can answer it for myself because God is answering that to me. And I read this chapter, and God is, the word was meant to be completed as it is, so that no man can be with an excuse. And so I have the word. It's a mirror. I see myself. It's a mirror. I can see myself. Do I want to look at it? That's a different thing. If I don't want to look at it, I won't see myself. And I'm going to be quite happy with what the world tells me. Oh, you are so kind. Oh, you are so nice. Oh, you are so good. Oh, you gave this. You are so good. And I'm very, very, very happy, content. Life is good. God is good. Life is good. Everything is good. Well, God was good to Paul when he was preaching on Mars Hill, free. He was good to him when he was, God was remained good when he was in the stocks being beaten and bloodied. God is always good. We can't just recognize the goodness of God when things are going the way I want them to go. My flesh, which has not been crucified, because if I want it how I want it and not how Christ wants it, that means I didn't crucify my flesh. And so now there's a problem. And so Peter was asked, "Do you love me?" Peter, who thrust himself headlong into the sea to go to see Christ. Is he going to accept me? He couldn't wait for the boat to come. Is Christ going to accept me? I know what I did. He knows what I did. He told me I would do it. I walked on water. I had faith to walk on water. And I'm going to deny you? No way. Well, he did, because he believed in himself. He didn't put his trust in the living God, the one who called him to walk in the water, the one who called him to be a witness for him. Yes, my brother and my sister, you and I are being called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We're not called to just walk on water. Oh, look what I can do with Christ. No, we're called to be a witness to him. Yes, dear ones, we can do many kind things. The Bible tells us, and it will profit us nothing. We say, wait a minute, are you going to tell me that someone who lives a despicable life and someone who is giving of themselves and whatever, but he doesn't have Christ? I'm just reading what the Bible says. It profiteth me nothing. And there's an example of that in the Sermon on the Mount. Example of that. Lord, Lord, we prophesied. We prophesied in your name. We taught. We pointed people to you. I don't know you. Where did it profit him? I don't know you. I don't know you. That means it profited them nothing. Nothing. What profit did it do us today to come together? If I leave here and this word is lost on me, nothing. Oh, yeah, I might have impressed you. I might have shown you look, I came to church. I want to be included in the group or crowd that is there. But you know, if I come on a Wednesday or on a Sunday morning and noon and night and Saturday, whenever our church gathers, if I do it every time, but my heart's not there, it profits me nothing. That's what the Bible is telling us. So what we are being asked to do is what Jesus asked Peter. Do you love me? And Peter now says, Lord, thou knowest. You know. He's not so quick to say, he just says, Lord, thou knowest. Everything will cease. Prophecy will cease. It tells us here they will fail. Charity never faileth. Prophecies will fail. Tongues will cease. Knowledge will vanish away. Dear ones, what good did it do Caiaphas to prophesy? He prophesied of Christ. We have prophesied in thy name. I don't know you. What good did it do Caiaphas? Because in a couple chapters later, he's ready to crucify him. Dear ones, are we speaking of Christ and prophesying, teaching of Christ, and then we fail in witnessing for him? Because that's what Caiaphas did. He spoke of him, but he failed to witness. And so we also, dear ones, when we fail to witness, we can't break this down into something acceptable. That it's okay when I fail. We can't. The only thing that it can drive, that it should drive me and you to do is repent. Repent. Because that's what Peter did. Peter came back. He dove into the water. He came to the shore. And the all-knowing, all-searching eyes of the Lord came upon him and said, do you love me, Peter? He didn't say, Peter, how could you have done that? What were you thinking? He doesn't beat us up. What were you thinking when you did that? That's what I do to you and you do to me. What were you thinking? Well, I wasn't. He just asked Peter, do you love me? Because in that love is power, a power that will never fail. Sometimes, once in a while, never, never. Be ye perfect, be ye holy, have the mind of Christ. All these things are speaking of perfection. All these things are speaking of a mind that is full of the compassion and the tenderness and the love of Christ, that never vaunts itself, doesn't seek anything on its own, doesn't care about self, because it's about service. You cannot be a Christian in the term that the Scripture speaks of, a servant of the Most High God, and still serve self. Christ didn't. You and I can't either. Are we going to be greater than our Master? Are we going to give ourselves a leeway that he never showed us? We're to step in and fall into step with our Savior. Follow him. Just follow him. Yes, it's going to go against. You know who might even go against? Someone, your peers even, that are sitting here in the pews with you. It might go against them. And we say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. No. Christ is showing me a different way. Christ is showing me a way of true fulfillment and joy and peace. It will all vanish away, he says. What won't vanish? Charity. Love. Christ. He is forever. and he is always the same. He's never changed. He never will. His expression of his love towards you, my dear friend, outside of Jesus, is on the cross. It's on the cross. Look at him there, dying for you. Never rejoice in iniquity. Rejoiceth in the truth. Rejoiceth in the truth. Do we sometimes hear something? Ooh, I can't wait to go tell somebody this. We don't care if it's true or not. It's what I heard. Well, that's what he told me. You know, he said. So, I can't wait to go. It says, rejoiceth in the truth. You would never, ever think to lie about somebody else. To cast you into light that is dropping you down. To lead you to believe. I mean, I didn't lie, but I led you to believe something that isn't true. That's not rejoicing in truth. The truth is God. It's his word. It's been left for us. It's complete. It's entire. It lacks nothing. And dear ones, we are being called. We are being called to go preach Jesus Christ. So is my love for my Lord the same as his love is for the world? So in other words, am I ready to speak of Jesus? Not flippantly, but that my life would be an expression. My life would be an expression, testimony, a manifestation of Jesus Christ living in me. That's how I will preach Christ. We are all teachers now. There's no more prophets. There's no more apostles. But there are teachers. And you and I are all teachers. It's not just the preachers here. We're all teachers. And we all teach and point to Jesus. You know, every one of us can guide, instruct a soul to Christ when your life is right. When it's not, who are you going to instruct? What are you going to instruct? What are you going to do? I'm pointing to him, but I'm going the other way. Well, you know what happens? The ones who I'm teaching are going to do what I do. They're going to do what you do. Oh, it must be okay. It must be okay. And we lead a soul to hell through our lack of testimony. And so, dear ones, faith will cease. It's alive today. It's alive. This is what gives us our love, our belief, our faith, a faith in Christ that will take us through everything. Paul and or Peter and John, they were beaten. They were beaten. And they were told, don't preach anymore. What? Don't preach Jesus? What am I here on earth for then? You don't want me to preach Jesus? You want me to be afraid of a man? And I'm going to shut my mouth to Jesus? And I'm going to be afraid of your whips? That's love. That's love. Paul, I know we've spoken of that many times. Paul's in prison, and Silas, they were beaten, left. They're going to die. The jailer, when he sees what happens, he's going to thrust himself in with a sword to kill himself. And he says, stop. Stop. He didn't say, yes, he deserves it. Go ahead, thrust yourself in. Look what you did to me. Look how bloodied and bruised and broken I am. You had no compassion on me, no mercy. You beat me halfway to death. Go ahead. Now, he couldn't do that. Paul couldn't do that. Why? Because Christ was living in him. There's no rejoicing. Stop. Stop, he says. Save yourself. Save yourself. Christ came for you too. This is who I'm preaching. This is why I'm in these things. This is why you beat me. But He's there for you too. That's the message. That's the message that we are to live to our enemies, to love our enemy. That's not a human love. Human love can't do that. God's love can. Do I have his love? And so, dear ones, this chapter is just asking this over and over. Like Peter was asked, do you love me? That's the only question that God needs to ask you and me. It's the only question. He doesn't have to ask me, well, then why did you? Well, you know what? When I read this and proclaim my love for him, my conscience will prick me. I will know whether I love him or not. I will see through the word, oh, my conscience just told me, no, I don't love him. I don't love him in the way, in the purity, in the way that he has asked, that he loved me. No, I don't have God's love. No, I'm ready to tell somebody off. I'm ready to act in this manner. I'm ready to not speak to someone. I'm ready to talk about someone. Well, then Christ does not live in me then. Calling on him, praying to him, moving these obstacles, the faith that will move everything, it profits me nothing. That's hard to even wrap your mind around. Because we're so into what I did. I did. Well, you didn't do nothing. That's what the Bible says. You didn't do nothing because you didn't love. A love will give oneself up. Its only mission is you. It's only you, never me. Christ's mission, what was it? It was never him. Do the will of the Father. Do the will of the Father and love the world that he created. Never pushed to a limit. Never, ever endured all things. And so this is what we are being called to love as he loves. Christ living in me must be a change, must be a way of life that this world does not understand. The world understands if you're poor and I give you a dollar. The world understands that. The world can have compassion. We can have compassion. But we cannot have Christ if we still have our own will. And so let the compassion be driven. Let the source of the compassion not be me, who I might have compassion on you, but not on you. I might have compassion. No, that's human compassion. But love doesn't differentiate. There's a need, I'm there. I see you don't know Christ, I'm going to point you to him. I'm going to show you. And so, dear ones, our testimony must always be alive, ready to speak of the hope that we have. Today we hope. Today we have faith. Those things will go away. There's no need to hope. There's no need to believe when we're in front of him. But love goes on and on. Love endures forever. Love is God. Do you love me? Amen.
The church in Corinth that this letter was written unto was a church that had many, many problems. Many of the members there were fighting amongst themselves, had a lot of pride, a lot of selfishness. And the message that was read this morning, that was written for them back then, could not have been more relevant to that church. Because the one constant, the one solution that can solve any problem is love. Love never will fail us. It can solve any problem that we have amongst ourselves or any problem that we have with sin, any problem that we have with God himself. If we love him more than anything else, then that will always be the solution. It was true when this letter was written, and it was true, and it is true today. It will always be true because God himself is love. He will never change, and he will always give us the victory. May we trust in him daily to give us that strength we need to overcome, that strength that will solve any problem, that power that goes beyond anything that we can give of ourselves. Love truly never does fail. May God bless his word in our hearts. Amen.